Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. You know, for those of us who have lived here a long enough time, live in Montana, sometimes those winters are a little long and you suffer through it. But then you have the Montana summer to hang out in, right? And everything's working out just fine in that regard. I think we make the most that we can of our summertime in Montana, which includes picking from some pretty darn good events all across the state. The Folk Festival in Butte, fishing tournaments. And one of the key ones that I've always had my eye on and have not been there yet. And you know what? Felix and Annette and Chance and Brenda, you can give me a heck about that. But I have not been to Scobie's Pioneer Days. But we are going to go there virtually today and talk about it. It's been going on forever. And you've heard of the Dirty Shame Show, right? Yeah. We'll see what goes into the making of that here today on Voices of Montana. The Dirty Shame Show. What is the Dirty Shame Show? Well, we'll talk about that. It's all part of something that's been going on for years and years, and I'll have those folks talk about it too, how long that's been going on. It's the Pioneer Days in Scobie, Montana. And so let's get right into it. I should say a bit later on, we'll kind of be checking around the region. This is Missouri River Country. Voices of Montana Tourism Director Dax Schieffer is going to be joining us a bit later on. So we'll check in with some other events that are going on. But this is the big one. It's this weekend. It's combined with a big class reunion, an all-class reunion there as well. And let's welcome our guests here. As I mentioned them earlier, Felix Gilbertson is with the Museum Board, runs a Century Farm in northeastern Montana, and I guess you're the one herding cats this morning. Good morning, Felix. How are you?
Doing mighty fine, Tom. How are you doing this morning?
Great, and I'm really glad to have you on. Appreciate that. You guys are actually from the studios of our affiliate there, KCGM 95.7, the Voice of the Prairies, which I actually did work at many, many years ago. So thanks to Jetta and everybody there who's setting that up. So, and let's also say hello to Annette Teven, who's in charge of the Summer Bells and a board member as well. Good morning, Annette.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. Chance Hammer, the show's MC, works with the Pro Co-op station up there. Chance, how you doing, sir?
Tom, we're doing wonderful.
Good. Are you excited about the show this weekend?
About as excited as you can be.
Yeah, good. And then Brenda Cook. Brenda's your aunt, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I have to claim that one.
Okay, all right. Yeah, right off the bat, we had to do that. Brenda Cook, who's been a part of that show in and around it for years and years. Good morning, Brenda. How are you?
Good morning. We're great.
Thank you guys for being here. Appreciate that. Let's have some fun, because that's, I think, what this weekend is all about. One thing to keep in mind, you know, when you talk about Pioneer Days, is that there's a pioneer town in Scobie. 35 historic buildings have been restored there. And I'm so dying to get up there one of these days. Felix, I told you, you can get on my case about it. But talk about what Pioneer Days is.
Well, Pioneer Days, this is our 59th year of having a show. This is actually the third location, which is in the Rex Theater, which used to be in downtown Scobie. And it's where the bank, the Independence Bank, now presently sits. There's been a lot of, you know, we have people from three or four different counties and actually two states that join us in the show, whether you're in the Dixieland Jazz Band or whether you're in the show. We have people from Glasgow, all over that help with many aspects of the music in the show. So it's been going on for quite a long time. Try to preserve the history of our area. And it's a fun weekend, a family fun-filled weekend that we have planned, so people can come out and enjoy and be part of what we got going on up here.
Tell us a little bit about the Pioneer Town and 35 historic buildings, as I read it here from your guys' website. And you can go to the Facebook page, and it's Daniels County Museum Pioneer Town. You'll search and find that. Schedule. Yep. You know, talk about putting that together, because as I was up there earlier this year, it was later on in the day, and we drove by it just to take a look at it. I mean, this looks like an actual operating pioneer town.
Yeah, we've been really lucky. A lot of the buildings have been moved either from old Scobie, when Scobie was moved on top of the hill, quote-unquote, and off the bottom, to the train tracks. We have buildings that we've restored from Whitetail, and we are just now got the footings made for the depot that was the Flaxville Depot.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
actually moving it into Pioneer Town. The footings are done, and we'll move the caboose this fall when the ground freezes to make another exhibition for people to come. And the girls just got done fixing up the Snodgrass House, which is now featuring all the artifacts and remnants of the Methodist Church, which has disbanded. And so we've got a couple new attractions that are going on. We've built onto the back of the house, you know, for so we can have some new storage for dry storage for the Dirty Shame Bell's costumes. Added another room so they have a bathroom back there. We used to use outhouses, and now we're moving up in the world, so we can actually have indoor plumbing. we're doing a lot of projects as a board and as and everybody takes everybody to make this work. And Brenda actually runs the museum store, and she does all the tours. So she can kind of tell you about the town and what's going on.
Brenda, go ahead. You know, talk about your connection there. And when you're giving tours and when people stop into the museum store, you know, what are they curious about? What are they asking you about?
Well, they just asked how we started and why we started. And it was actually Edgar Richardson's vision to start a pioneer town. So he was the one that started it, brought buildings in. We repurposed them. We set up displays, exhibits. We have everything that you could possibly imagine in a town, except for a men's store. We have a bank, a post office, a doctor's office, a lawyer's office, three churches, a house, a school, just absolutely everything you could possibly want in a house, in a town. So we just, they look around in our building, our museum building itself, the office building, and we do have exhibits there. And then we just walk across the road, and the tour takes about an hour. We start at one end and finish up at the other end. And they just ask questions about how the buildings came, why they came. And we just do a little history on each one, and that's our tour.
You know, we talk about tourism in Montana, and a lot of people kind of focus on the West. There's been more of an effort to engage and vitalize or revitalize some of these you know, smaller eastern Montana towns. What kind of people are you seeing there who want to take a tour through Pioneer
we
Town?
We see people from all over the United States.
Yeah.
They come, they're driving, they see a sign, which is about 70 miles south of us, and decide, oh, let's go up there and just see what the town has. So they drive up, we take them on a tour, or they're local people that have family here, so they come in. There's people that have been there 7-8 times that still come back because things change for us, and we love it.
Yeah. I'm going to go to Annette Steven with the Summer Bells. And Brenda, you can weigh in here as well, because as Felix was saying, you've seen a lot of shows.
I was never a bell. I just got to say that right there. I was never a bell. You look at me and you would know why. Oh. Felix, don't cry.
And Kant has never been a bell either, but we still love him. We're trying.
Annette, have you been a bell, I presume? Or how many times have you been a bell?
I was a bell. It was just for 1 year. They were getting some older ladies back together, and I was one of those, old, quote, older ladies. And so I did dance, and that particular year, we also traveled to the Fort Peck Theater, and so I got to dance on that stage also.
That is so cool. Yeah, tell us about this program. I mean, I don't mean the Dirty Shame show itself, but how long you guys have been doing this? And I presume because you guys have you know, new bells almost every year, right? And you have summer and winter. I would think almost everybody is going to be a bell. So Chance, your chance is coming up, I guess.
Yes. Well, the bells have actually been going like for 60 years. And they started in, it actually wasn't the Dirty Shame show. It was called the Chautauqua. And, of course, some of those bells laughed that they didn't kick near as high, but, yes, they've been going strong. We try to keep the costumes going, which is takes a lot of money and effort. And yes, we only have 8 bells on the stage, so you know, as a coordinator, you just try to get girls that, first of all, want to do it, can fit our costumes, and also, you know, all get along and we can have a great, fun experience.
Yeah, talk about that experience. I mean, are you teaching many of them to dance? And I know, like, I think I heard Felix talking earlier, this was off air, but he'll be singing with others. He'll be part of the show. Talk about how you make the bells into a team.
Well, we actually, a lot of them, they have to at least have graduated from high school. So a lot of them come home from college. So we can't even get started till, they graduate from high school or they get home from college. And a lot of the choreography, we take from older songs, that we've done before, and we sometimes change it up a little bit. But yeah, you're just kind of teaching the girls how to, move like a Charleston dancer to, the Saloon Hall Can-Can dancer. So they have to learn we do four dances in about 4 to 5 weeks. So it is a quick turnaround for these girls.
Do they, do you practice twice, 3 times a week, long practices, yes. I presume, at times?
Yes. This year we were, because we kind of got a late start, we've been going 3 times a week for at least 2-hour practices. Plus they put in a lot of time on their own practicing, so we're ready to learn a new one. So yeah, they have to put in a lot of volunteer time and effort. So we're pretty proud of our girls that volunteer to do it.
And you can see them go to that Facebook page again for the Daniels County Museum and Pioneer Town. And you've got, and you take pictures, nice professional pictures of the bells. And you can see there, I checked it out earlier this morning. You got some really cool costumes for the bells this year. Why don't you, maybe talk a little bit about who they are and where are they from this year?
All of the, 2 of the girls are from Plentywood, which is in Sheridan County, and the rest of them are all Scobie girls that have grown up here. A lot of them have watched the show, and, some of them just, that's kind of what they want to do when they grow up is be a belle. It's kind of like on their bucket list, some of them. And, so, yeah, they just put in the time and the effort to do that.
Annette, even again, with the Summer Bells. And then let's speak with Chance Hammer here before we take a break, too. Good morning again, Chance, the show's MC. Why don't you talk about what you've heard here as well? But what sparks you when you think about telling people about Pioneer Days?
Pioneer Days, it's kind of a... for a lot of us around here, it's kind of a pride thing. It's kind of what we have.
Yeah.
And you travel all over the state and you can go to different museums in different places and you see some things there that, that's really neat. And that's, some of the different town-oriented museums. And then you come here and it's like you have all these buildings laid out and it's almost like you take a step back in time a little bit. And we try to preserve that as much as we can. I'm the only one here that's not on the board, but I'm basically the board's minion. So when the board wants to do something that they don't want to do, I get the phone call. And it's something, I was in the show when I was in junior high. And just kind of came back through. And Annette said I couldn't be a belle because I don't fit any of the costumes. So I thought, well, what's the next best thing? Maybe I'll just be the pretty face of the show.
Right.
And go from there.
So we're struggling is what we're saying.
Yeah. But no, Tom, Pioneer Town, it's Scobie. The whole place is, put together with, you can't even imagine the volunteer hours and the community support with donations. And yeah, it's not even, I wouldn't even say it's Scobie. It's Daniels County. It's just the way that they are here. we're going to support our own, and this is our own. And nobody's going to tell us that we can't support our own little town within Scobie.
Well, and that's how these little towns have survived all these years, is having right. that sense of community. And of course, like you say, you're very welcoming to anybody else. I just think it's just Montana. It's history back in action. Boy, this year in their 59th year of doing Pioneer Days, we're talking about Scobie, Montana, far northeastern Montana. There's a town a little bit east of them in Plentywood in that regard, too. And everybody up there is a part of this well, Pioneer Days, and then the Dirty Shame Show, which is at the Rex Theater, which was and go to the website and go to the Facebook page, and you can find them in a lot of places. Just do a little search on Pioneer Days. But originally built as a grain storage facility in 1913, the Rex Theater as well, and that's the site for the Dirty Shame Show. So Felix Gilbertson is with us, Museum Board, runs the Century Farm up there. I'd love to talk to you about that sometime too. Felix, Annette Teven, Summer Bells, Chance Hammer, 11th year, I believe now. He's going to be the show's MC, and Brenda Cook, museum store, and we'll talk to her about some of these summer hours as well. So, Felix, I'm going to go back to you because, you know, there's just a ton of stuff going on here. There's the parade. You guys have an all-class reunion. So what is happening this weekend? You got a big concert on Friday. Tell us the times. Tell us these shows. Let us know what's going on.
Yep. Well, I will let Chance talk about the stuff for Pioneer Days, but I'll address just a few little short items. For our town, you know, we actually have a functioning blacksmith shop and the bank. Actually, Chance's wife 1 year had run it. We actually have a functioning bank and some other things in the saloon. We offer root beer floats, popcorn, and this year we have Joe Puckett, which will be highlighting his book and some of the stuff that's been going on through the years. Joe will talk a little bit about that. But on Friday night, the gates are open at 5:30. And every, you know, the last Friday in our month of June is when we kind of kicks off our Pioneer Days. And we have a band, a local band from Plentywood called Sideways, which will be opening for the main attraction. And they are called Snake Oil. The Icons of Rock, their cover band. We're doing something a little different this year, being an all-class reunion. We're trying to facilitate some of us old guys and girls that like some of that old rock and roll. And we're going to be showcasing that. And they start at 7 o'clock on Friday night. We have many different types of food, hamburgers and pola sausages. And we're having an acai bowl. How do you say that? I don't even know how you say that word. We're having that and ice cream, all kinds of things, and many different types of flavors of food and drinks for the weekend. Have different vendors that come up and show their wares. Great place to come. It's kid friendly. And you know, bring your family out. Come and have dinner and enjoy your evening with us. So we've been really lucky. We've had some getting a nice stage trailer and trying to do some updating with some things, and we've got over 60 yearly sponsors that have been really instrumental, not just the businesses. We're trying not, you know, the businesses get hit a lot, and we're trying to hit up farmers and ranchers,
right,
individuals that have been so giving and so warm and welcoming us into the endeavors that we're trying to do. You know, a lot of people, a lot of kids, they don't know where their food comes from, right? So they just know that they have they just go to the store. So this pioneer town, and with all the stuff that's going on, they can actually see that, you know, how things were back in the 20s and 30s and 40s, and gets kids associated. Brenda's done tours from kids from Fraser, Wolf Point, Plentywood, Poplar, and yep. But anyway, we will have some time here with Chance, and he'll tell you about what's going on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, do Chance, I heard that you encourage a little bit of rowdiness from time to time.
You know, Tom, those are baseless rumors. I don't try and encourage rowdiness. It just kind of happens. You know, when you step into that theater for the Dirty Shame show, you really never know.
You are going to hoop, aren't you? You're going to hoop and holler a little bit, aren't you?
Well, I've been known to holler a little bit. I don't know about hooping, but I try to encourage
some hooping and hollering at the appropriate times, which is when the when the girls come out and dance. Of course, the four numbers per show, and that's four shows, so that's a lot of hooping and hollering. I have to encourage.
It is, but it's not only the dancing too. I mean, Felix was saying that he's going to be up on stage. You said you were a part of it when you were junior high,
right? You know, we have, I think 18 different numbers, not including, well, I think 17 musical numbers with the bells and the and other musical numbers that we've put together, plus comedy that we have mixed in. And, of course, none of what we do down there would really be that good without the people we have in our Dixieland Jazz Band. That it's really the base of about 85% of my jokes.
They also play for the bells too.
The band is I make a joke during the show about the band being the stars of the show, and you know, part of that's a joke to make fun of the band, and part of it is the God's honest truth, Tom, because you know, they're putting in just as much time, if not more time, than the rest of us. And, you know, the bulk of them are senior citizens. So, you know, we're just lucky we got the guys that we got, Tom.
I've heard people say that that's the best part of the show, actually, year in and year out, is that music from the Dixieland Jazz Band. So glad they take it so seriously. I got just a couple of minutes left. Brenda, I want to ask you about the summer hours there as well at the museum. And how people, I mean, if they can't make it this weekend, but they're going to be traveling in that area, you know, can they visit Pioneer Town?
We are open from 12:30 to 4:30 every day of the week, including Saturday and Sunday. All they have to do is just stop in.
12:30 to 4:30, and is it? And you do guided tours as well, is what you were saying, right? Okay, and so those happen 7 days a week too, huh?
Yep, they sure do.
All right, is there a cost for that?
It is $10 for an adult and $7 for 12 and under.
Okay, that's good. I know you guys. I mean, these things do take money. You've got volunteers, and then as Felix mentioned, all those sponsors too, and. I'm just excited because everybody is all in on this for the fun that you have this weekend. I got now 1 minute left. Annette, what are you dancing to? What are the girls dancing to?
They start off the show with Charleston, which is, you know, the 1920s, and then they're doing a patriotic medley and then a cowboy number to the song Ghost Riders, and then we finish up with our famous can-can, which we do every year.
Yeah, that's cool. And do they costume change between each of those performances?
Yes, they have four costume changes, shoes and everything. So they're busy girls the whole show.
Quick text message here. What time period does the Pioneer Town take place in? Have you? It's like early 1900s. Is that what it would be, Felix?
I'm going to say probably the 20s and 30s.
Okay. 1920s and 30s. All right. Thanks, Josh from Belt, listening along and interested in all that history. Felix Gilbertson, Annette Teven, Chance Hammer, and Brenda Cook. You guys have some extra fun for me this weekend, and I'll be up there one of these days, I promise.
Tom, next year's our 60th show, so we expect you to be here.
All right. Hammer me on that, too, okay, Felix?
I will.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Let's welcome Dax Schieffer. He's the director of the Voices of Montana Tourism, voicesoftourism.com, for more information, just to kind of pick up. We had some fun. And good morning, Dax. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on today.
Thanks for coming on. I appreciate that. We had some fun talking with the folks, actually from the studios of KCGM 95.7 in Scobie there, about the Pioneer Days and how that community comes together to celebrate. And I find that just so refreshing and so Montana, and just so honest and genuine. Are those things going on in other places across the state of Montana? I know they are. Tell me what you see.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you know, so I live in Helena today, but I grew up in Richland County. And so I had a great opportunity growing up to visit and attend county fairs and events that you know, really bring communities together, but I'll kind of start from, you know, the top where you were going with the, you know, how Montana is looking right now from a a tourism perspective.
Yeah.
We have, you know, and as a reminder, you know, it is a very large industry for the state of Montana. We see over $5 billion injected into our local communities from non-residents who come into the state. And so, you know, that's going to help keep our restaurants open, our retail shops, all the things that we love, make your town more livable, the things that you like to do. Tourism does play a part in that. It's not the entire thing, but it plays an important part. And so right now we're looking, you know, it's June, so we don't have a lot of the data in yet, but we are seeing some strength in some areas like near and around Yellowstone, which oftentimes, you know, when you see strength there, that actually spreads itself out. Mm-hmm. It gets in a lot of gateway communities, but even beyond. And so, you know, we're pretty encouraged watching those numbers. We have had getting some reports that in the Flathead, they're seeing some declines in both visitation and some spend. You know, there's a couple of, you know, factors that could be playing a part. Sometimes weather does play a part. You know, they just got some recent snow. But also, you know, there are some challenges where it comes to, you know, less people maybe coming down from Canada, for a variety of different reasons. But then there's some resiliency in that market too. And so there's still some efforts to market to that area. And so that's pretty important. But what I think you got me here today, because we could always talk about the macro, tourism economy for the state of Montana, but this is a time in Montana when we love Montanans traveling in their own state and finding all those hidden gems.
Yeah.
And going into a community and get a hotel, bring your camper, stay in some restaurants. And so, yeah, I'd be happy to go through some highlights that I think your listeners might be interested in.
Dude, I love talking about these events and I love going to them too. I don't get to enough of them. But what's going on? What kind of lights up for Montana this time of year?
Yeah, well, and this list is not exclusive, and that's just it. You know, we do have a short summer, so these events. You know, I almost apologize talking about them because there's so many good ones. I'm going to miss 10.
I know.
Awesome ones,
yeah,
for everyone I mentioned. Yeah. But what I thought I would kind of share is one of the things that we're seeing, especially with how Montana markets itself, is, you know, really protecting our heritage and talking about, you know, some of the history of our state. And oftentimes agriculture is a key component of that heritage. And if, you know, naturally you're going to a county fair, if you're going to a rodeo, you know, those are the foundation of those are in food production and actually in a great way, you know, teaching people where their food comes from and really, you know, hoping some of those producers can get some value add. But just to get to some lists, now this one's coming up quick. It's tomorrow. But if you're in the Bozeman area, the Taste of the Rockies is with the Museum of the Rockies. And they're going to bring in local food, and they're going to have a number of different events that are around food production, around history. And I think that'll be a fantastic event if you're able to check that out. You already talked about, you know, Pioneer Days. You know, growing up in Sydney, we'd sometimes try to get over to Brockway Dairy Day.
Oh, yeah.
July 20th. If you haven't been to that part of the state, you're missing out. It's beautiful when it comes to, you know, just being able to see forever and getting out into those highways. I think that's worth getting to. This one's pretty well known. So, you know, they don't probably need our help talking about it, but if you've never checked out Red Ant's Pants in White Sulphur Springs, July 24th, 27th, that's always a good one. You know, they created an event to bring visitors in. They just put it in a cow pasture. In fact, I think the first thing they do is they have to go up, move all the cow pies before they get bring people in. So you're as close to the land as you need to be when you attend that event. But it's a great one. This one in Ekalaka is a favorite. This isn't as much food production connection, but July 26th, 27th is the Dino Shindig. And if you're a parent out there who has kids who love dinosaurs, and many kids do, this is worth checking out. And they actually get young people out there to actually go and help with excavating fossils and dinosaur bones and all that kind of thing. I'd be remiss and I'd be in trouble if I didn't mention the Richland County Fair. I'm just over in Sydney, so July 30th to August 2nd. There's kind of a competition. They try to get the best regional fair, but of course, I think that's a pretty good one. But then we got our friends in Glasgow, too, at the Northeast Montana Fair, August 5th and 9th. So between all of these events, I mean, I took you from tomorrow to the middle of August. there's plenty to do and plenty to travel around to. And I just encourage people to get in the car, get in the camper, and explore. Find out what these Montana communities are made of. They're very welcoming. And, spend a little money while you're there, maybe. Get to a restaurant, do some shopping, and meet folks.
Tourism, what was I going to say? I was going to look for, and I just turned the, there it is, voicesoftourism.com. For more information on that as well, Dak Schieffer with us here from Voices of Montana Tourism. So some of these events, okay, and like you said, they for everyone you mentioned, there's events going on all across the summer. Talk about how those are, for what you do with Voices of Montana Tourism, how they become such a part of these communities, and they are a financial boon at times, or they should be, for these communities. If there are communities looking to put together an event, what do you suggest? How do communities, end up with a Pioneer Day show, the Dirty Shame show that's now in its 59th year? How do they start something like that?
Yeah. There's a number of ways and resources out there, but if I were to give somebody some encouragement, I think they really want to talk to their community first and really envision what they want to see and what they want to show off. And the reason I suggest that is I think the events that stand the test of time are those that are authentic to a community, that really connect in and that you get, community buy-in. I've unfortunately seen some, events that are tried and maybe they didn't do that work of talking to the community first. What do you want to see? If you're going to bring visitors in, you're going to open up your front door. You want to have some say in how that's going to be branded in messages. So, talk to your community first. What do you want to show off about your community? Second, Department of Commerce, through the bed tax collection, has event grants. They can help events get off the ground. They oftentimes can just, they're kind of seed money to kind of get things going,
yeah,
so that they can have a proof of concept. And those grants, I wish I don't have them off the top of my head of what the timing is on those, but those are regularly sent out. So you can always go to the Department of Commerce and look under their grants page and see if you might be able to get a little bit of help, especially starting a new event. That's particularly attractive for how they want to use those dollars, really kind of leverage those dollars for, future economic growth.
That's actually a great idea. And I remember we have done segments here where the Department of Commerce would come on if they released some of these grants and they would talk about them. And there are many different categories. And again, they're not huge knock me over kind of grants, but they're the kind of things that will get somebody started in the right direction in that regard.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Oh, maybe that segues into, what the Commerce Department is doing right now, which is launching its new brand. And they're doing something unique, which is they're taking it to Montanans first. And so they got this old branded truck they're driving around. They launched it at Mile City for the Bucking Horse Sale. But they got more events coming up where they're bringing this. So June 28th, they're going to Fort Benton. July 11th, they're going to be at North American Indian Days in Browning. And then July 12th, they'll be at the Montana Governor's Cup Walleye Tournament. So Commerce is out there. They're in our state. They're talking to communities, bringing this to them first, so that again, you know, we're all proud of our state, and we do want to welcome visitors, and we think they're being really intentional about their approach this year to the brand.
Yeah, and we've been talking about a giveaway that they've got here that involves all of these seven tourism regions. I'll talk more about it. Right now, this week, it's Missouri River Country, and there's two experience packages to give away there. Dax Schieffer with us here. I just got a couple of minutes left, Dax, and I want to ask you about the importance of destination promotion. I know that's something that you guys work on there. These communities, like, you know, as we talked with Scobie's folks from, you know, Pioneer Days, that they have created something that's become a destination promotion. And I know that we talked about a little bit, it's not easy to do, but there's more and more push toward that, which I think is being effective as well. You talk about agritourism, talk about rural, you know, lifestyle tourism, things like that. Those things are coming around a little bit.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, and we could see it, you know, just this year in the legislative session, we had, you know, rodeo recognized as Montana's official state sport. And it's something, you know, critical to, again, kind of our heritage. The destination marketing and creating these destination events, we actually have a really cool way that we're able to basically, without any general fund dollars, these are not the general fund dollars that Montana residents pay in, but it's rather through the bed tax dollars that are collected and remitted from hotel stays. You know, several chunks of that money will go to the state to promote rural and undervisited areas. But a large and sizable piece of that goes to destination marketing organizations that are outside of Helena. And then those can even go to convention visitor bureaus, which sometimes are the larger communities. But it was pretty elegant solution where we don't have just the state of Montana doing these promotions of these communities, you get to get this down the line. So, you know, Pioneer Days, they're going to be working with Missouri River Country, who has resources to help them market.
Yeah.
And so if you're a community looking to start an event, reach out right away to your travel region. Let them know what you're up to. Get some resources. They have the funding. And in my mind, that's a much more efficient way to have an authentic experience, because people in Helena, and I'm one of them, I'm here, you know, aren't going to always know what's really most important to your community. Yeah. So getting those dollars spread around to the regions, really can help with our rural areas. I mentioned one other resource, just cause I'm really, thinking that there's so much opportunity around, you know, connecting again Montanans to understanding how food is created and the importance of value add for our producers. And you can go to abundantmontana.com. And this is kind of more, less events, but it's like farmers markets, but they do have events in there. But they're really connecting Montanans with Montana food and farms. And,
nice.
And whether you're a producer or whether you're looking for a healthy, way to, you know, feed your family, with food that's produced and created right here in Montana.
Thanks for checking in, Dax. I want to see you around the roads this summer, okay? Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.